Okay, hey guys, welcome to a microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. I'm your host, Vince. Over there is Phil.
Hey.
There is Phil. Before we get into what we're talking about, just wanted to remind you all quickly to go to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and click subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. We'll get into the Twitter and the Instagram later, but we just wanted to do a quick in memoriam for Mr. Aaron Eisenberg, who those of you might know passed away recently. Mr. Eisenberg was an actor featured on the TV show Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He played the character of Nog for 7 seasons on that show. And I, you know, as usual, am late on things, and so didn't know that he had passed away till just yesterday. And this was, I guess, several days ago since he actually died. But was bummed about that. Apparently, he was born with only one kidney. And so he had suffered health problems for his whole life, which was, I shouldn't say this is good news, but I was pleased that it wasn't a drug overdose. You know, sometimes some of these actors that we've, you know, come to know from smaller parts on sci-fi shows tend to struggle in some way. And I was pleased to see that, you know, his passing, while tragic, wasn't the result of a series of poor life choices, but in fact was just something that was medical.
Yeah, no, I always kind of knew he had health problems. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so that's why he was so short.
I didn't know if it had something to do with that.
So he had, I think he had at least 2 kidney transplants in his life.
Oh.
And so, and he had, and you know, to make matters worse, he had just recently gotten married.
Yeah.
8 months ago, his girlfriend and him had eloped, and so that was very, very sad. But I wanted to know if we wanted to share some of our favorite Nog moments from the show.
Oh God! All right. One of my favorites is when he asks to join Starfleet for the first time. And Sisko gives him every little menial task he can think of just to get him out of the way, you know, because at this point he's been like a total screw up of a person, and he's related to total screw ups of you know, family members. And it's not until the end when he was like, I will literally do every stupid menial task you give me so that I don't end up like my father and my uncle, who I hate. And he like tries to prove his worth and show what a, you know, that he's different. And it was really, really good, because at that point he was not much of a character. He was still really young, like in real life, and he was, I don't know, 2 feet tall. So so they played that up, that he was this sniveling little, you know, almost kind of sneaky guy. And then you kind of find out that he's got a heart to him, and he has ambition. And it was really nice, because it's you usually don't get that from a guest actor on a show, especially next to Avery Brooks, who was scary as hell.
Yeah. So in thinking about this for the last like 24 hours, I've come to the conclusion that Nog might be one of my favorite characters from that show. You know, in like the top 3, I think, because as far as characters go, yeah, it was unusual to have a guest actor or like a reoccurring character, you know, be so complex. And yes, he didn't really have much in the way of overt complexity until that episode, which, like, that was the B story in that episode. It was just this, like, I forget what they were doing. But he has this wonderful scene, like you said, with Sisko saying, like, my father is a mechanical genius and he can't get out from under my uncle, and I'm not going to end up like that. And I'm watching it happen in front of me, and it's terrible. And also, you're like, holy cow, where did this guy go? But if you watch him throughout the first couple years of that show, you know, his interactions with Jake come almost immediately. Like, they begin to develop some kind of a relationship, and bits of Jake begin to bleed into him, and then bits of him begin to bleed into Jake. So they really, along with Bashir and O'Brien, develop one of the, you know, only friendships that that show ever really did. So the complexity was there early on. They just sort of shoved it into the forefront when he asked to join Starfleet. and that he continues to develop in interesting ways. He doesn't lose who he is, and he can hold his own on screen with Avery Brooks and J.G. Hertzler, which one of the funniest things ever was when he goes and gives them crap for loitering on the promenade. It's like he's, you know, he's maybe 4 feet tall, and these guys, you know, they're not all huge, but they're covered in all this prosthetics that makes them look enormous and terrifying. And there's this little guy yelling at them. But I think my favorite episode of his, I mean, you could point to the really sort of just gut-wrenching ones like Paper Moon, where he spends the entire episode hiding in the holodeck and trying to get over the fact that he's lost his leg. And that's a great episode because it's, you know, and it's an important one because it deals with a lot of the stuff you didn't see on Star Trek, really people who are suffering from PTSD. But there was a great episode called Treachery, Faith, and the Great River, where the A story is that one of the Wayoons is defective, and he's trying to defect with Odo back to the Federation because his clone brain isn't working right. But the B story is that it's very much like a Catch-22, like the book, where Nog brings his understanding of, you know, supply and demand, and, you know, the ancient ideas of that kind of economics to Star Trek, and he's, you know, gets all these things done for different people behind the scenes. He's barely in the show, but he has like three or four scenes where he's explaining how I am one of you people. I am in Starfleet, but I am also a Ferengi, and this has given me an ability to get stuff done that you guys don't have because you can't think like that anymore. And they oftentimes would use the Ferengi as a foil for modern day humans to say, this is how bad we can be to each other. But in this particular instance, they used it as a strength for Nog, and it was played for laughter, but also gave him a confidence in the character that wasn't, you know, he didn't have an opportunity to use in most other situations. So I think of that episode as being something that's a great use of, like, a culminating aspect of that character. It wasn't just that he was sad or depressed or just a Ferengi, but it was him walking the line between the two worlds that he inhabited, which I thought was it was just a good use of that, of the fullness of the character that they had created. Mm-hmm. And then he played so well, because he was really, really good in that role.
Oh yeah, he did it for a long time.
And they're not easy characters to play because they, you know, you're both ridiculous looking, you know, you're physically encumbered. You know, like, I still regret, you know, not asking Armin Shimerman at the Star Trek convention that we went to. Like, how did you work through all that? Like, you couldn't talk properly. How did you get all that out of your? Like, yeah, you're acting in a mask, and that's challenging. But you also can't speak because you get these big old fangs in your mouth. Like, these actors really had a lot to have to work with, and they all did really well.
Yeah, well, they played it straight, which is what you needed to do. You know, like, it might not look serious to everybody who just walks through the living room casually, and they look over and they go, ugh, this weirdo show with the dumb makeup and costumes. But when you're on the show and you're dealing with it, the tone is very serious, then you treat it seriously. And that really helps to sell it, you know?
Yeah, especially when you're supposed to be the comic relief. Because you can't, right, you can't for a minute make it seem like you're making fun of yourself.
Well, right. That's not the comic stuff they were doing. It wasn't how they looked or you know, or sounded or anything. Especially when it was just them. Like, if they ever went to a place where it was only people in the same makeup, the Ferengi, that looked like that, to them it was normal, and their appearance was not the thing that was comical.
Yeah,
it was their behavior. And we're supposed to be watching them, you know, obsess over money and obsess over acquiring items and profit, and it's like, it's a foil for the person watching the show. Like, oh yeah, I do that. I'd love to have more money, you know, and they're held up and they're held up against the standard of people who don't need money, which makes them look silly. But it's not the big ears or anything. That just happens to be the way that the makeup came out. So
yeah, and the Ferengi I think have one of the more interesting, you know, histories in terms of their development, because they were supposed to replace the Klingons in Next Generation as the ultimate bad guys, but that's just not how it worked out.
No, not so much.
Did not happen like that. So, but anyway, I just wanted to take a minute and pay our respects to Mr. Eisenberg. We're very sorry to have lost you, sir. And anything else you want to add?
No.
He was a great talent and a good character. So he'll be missed. So yeah, if you guys want to share your thoughts about Nog and DS9 and Aaron Eisenberg, you can do so with us on Twitter and Instagram at @3drinksinpod. You can find us on Facebook, and you can email us at 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. I guess that's everything. We'll talk to you all next time.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.